The battle is not yours. The battle is mine, says the Lord. You will not have to fight each and every time, but you will have to listen to my plan. I have a plan, a strategy to overcome every enemy. You shall not be defeated. You shall win, because I will cause you to win. I am your champion. I will go before you.
Thank you, Lord.
And as you follow me, I will lead you into victory. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Word this morning. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 14. We'll read from 14 to 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And every church that has a grave site next to them, they have front row seats. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So I'm here to comfort you today, amen? We want to get some understanding about our blessed hope, about what's going to happen in the end. And we should not approach the end fearfully. We should not approach the end worrisome or burdensome. But we should approach the end with joy, which watchfulness, prayerfulness, expectation. You know, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, it's going to be great and glorious. And we're going to focus on talking about the rapture today. And then next week, we're going to talk about some things about the tribulation. But you know, when God speaks and when God writes, you know, everything is before God. He doesn't operate in time, but we do. And since God created the world, he also created time. You know, the Bible says that the word of God framed the world, doesn't it? So which with each time period, with each era, the word of God framed it out. And God, there's always a beginning and the end. And so, you know, thank God that we have the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand. And, you know, when we fail to take dominion on this earth, you know, peace can be lost. I mean, when righteousness fails to be stood up for, I mean, things can be lost, can't they? All right? Don't fail to take your dominion. You know, Israel had to possess the land that God had already given them. You know, God gave it to them. He said it was theirs, but they had to go in and take it, didn't they? If they didn't go in and take it, it would have been taken by someone else, right? And so we need a biblical understanding of God's plan for the ages. And we need to weave together the prophecies of the Old and the New Testaments. And you know, the coming of Jesus is imminent. Now that word, it just simply means that it's pending. It's on the agenda. It's on the horizon. It's in the pipeline. It's at hand. It's just around the corner. Okay? And I'm not going to tell you when he's coming because I don't know. I'm not going to tell you the day or the hour because no one knows. And if anyone tries to say that, they're false prophets, false teachers. Okay? But, you know, when the prophets looked down into the future and they saw the things that was going to transpire at the end, you know, failing money markets, bank failures, national bankruptcies, food shortages, earthquakes, moral decline, powerless churches. You know, we're seeing that today, aren't we? Lawlessness and fear. Our universe, I mean, the enemy has been excellent at communicating fear to people. But you know what? We don't listen to him. And so we need to open our eyes, all right? Now, last week, we talked about the fact that the church age was hidden, okay? And this is the age that we're in today. And the prophets of old, they did not see the church. It was hidden in God, and it was revealed at the right time. And I mentioned some. I mentioned the seven dispensations, but here are some things that occur in the church age, and then we're going to finish up with the rapture today, all right? So during the church age, these things were hidden in a mystery, all right? The prophets didn't see it because God didn't show them, and, you know, when we're in the church age right now, it's like God has two stopwatches, all right? Stopwatch number one is the Jewish stopwatch, okay? And that was running until the church age began. Then God clicked stop, but he didn't stop keeping the time, he just stopped the clock. And then now the church age, okay? And when the church age is done, we're on the church clock right now. But when the church age is done, God's gonna click the Jewish time clock again, it's gonna start again, okay? All right? So, things that occurred in the church age, number one, is the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't it awesome to be a new creature? Yeah. All right? So Nicodemus, who was supposed to be a person who knew the law, he did not understand the new birth. He came to Jesus. He said, well, how can a man be born again? Jesus said, you must be born again, all right? You must be born of the Spirit and of water. And Nicodemus didn't understand this, and he was a teacher of the law. Even Jesus said, you're a teacher of the law, and you don't understand this? But this was hidden, okay? And God revealed it. It was part of the church age. These are things that occurred. Number two was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. John 16:7 says, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And Jesus said, he will be with you and in you. See, in the Old Testament, they had the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God would only come upon people to perform functions. They would come on the prophet, the priest, and the king. And it was symbolic because when those people who had those positions, they were anointed with oil. It was like the Holy Spirit coming on them, and he empowered them to do those things, to function in that way. But now in the New Testament, you and I, in the age that we're living in, the Holy Spirit can live inside of us. Isn't that awesome that God chose us as vessels to put his Spirit in? God wants to dwell in us. So everywhere we go, we have the teacher with us, we have the guide with us, we have the one who gives us the power with us, we have the one who is the Spirit of wisdom with us, he's the Spirit of truth with us, he's in us, right? He's with us and he's in us. That never happened until the church age. All right? That's pretty awesome. You know, number three was the individual priesthood of every believer. Did you know that you're a priest? How do I know that? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Aren't you glad you've been called out of darkness? You've been called into the light. And you're a royal priest. You're part of a holy nation. You're a peculiar person. That doesn't mean you're weird. It means that God owns you. It means that you are his special possession. These things occurred in the church age that was hidden. All right? Number four, it was the baptism of fire, or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You know, John said in Matthew 3, he said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Woo! I'll tell you what, to be baptized means to be immersed. All right? And Jesus baptizes us in fire. And if you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, sometimes it feels like fire. Sometimes it feels like electricity. I mean, I got saved and baptized pretty close to the same time. And, you know, when people were baptized, it was on the day of Pentecost. That was the beginning of the church age. And the Holy Ghost came into the house, came into the room where they were at, right? And there was 120 of them, and flames that looked like fire appeared over their head, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's an equipping, it's an empowerment, it's an endowment. Jesus said, look, I don't want you to go until you be endued with power from on high. And there was a set time where God was going to empower us with his Spirit. That occurred in the church age, all right? This is going to help us understand the end, right? How many know, in order to understand the end, you got to know some things along the way, right? And so thank God that we have the Holy Spirit in his word to help us. Number five, the spiritual gifts for every believer. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. You know, there's nine gifts of the Spirit. Those are to build up and to help the body of Christ, right? We heard one today, tongues and interpretation. We're a church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if people have a problem with tongues, they're certainly going to have a problem with all the other gifts. I guarantee that, amen? But God's given us these gifts, and these gifts operated with Jesus. How did Jesus know that the woman at the well was living with a guy that wasn't her husband? That was a revelation of an already known fact. That was a gift of the Holy Spirit operating, okay? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are designed to help you and to enhance you helping other people, all right? Number six, the church. You know, when they did not see the church coming, because God had us, we're God's special gift, and he unwrapped us. You know, isn't it exciting when you get a gift? I like getting gifts, but the more exciting thing is I like opening the gifts. I like seeing what's on the inside. I like being able to use, if anyone gives me clothes, I try to wear those clothes like the next day. I'm wearing what I received, all right? The church was hidden. Go to Romans chapter 12. Now, you have to understand something about the church. While we are on the earth, we are the body of Christ. When we will be taken out of the earth, we'll become the bride of Christ. Okay? We're not God's bride now because he is the head and we are the body, right? Okay, Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Did you know that you're part of a bigger body? Jesus is the head. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, and we are his body. While we are in this earth, while we are in the church age, we are the body of Christ. But when we get taken out, we're going to be changed. All right, I can't get ahead of myself here. And that change is going to occur quickly. But we're the body of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Say, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And it's so awesome when the body comes together. God does things when the body comes together. Amen? And we can fellowship one with another. We can serve. We can support the body. We can serve in the body. And, you know, the body is important. How would you feel if your head didn't have a body? Huh? You know, the body of Christ is not walking around like the headless horseman. I mean, we're attached to the head. Jesus is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. He said, I will build my church. Jesus is into bodybuilding. He wants his body built up. He wants you strong. Did you know that you're in a place where you can be a strong believer? We want people who come to VCF to be strong believers, to be strong and to go out and to represent Christ to others. You can't do that if you're weak. You got to be strong. All right? Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about what was hidden in the church age and things that occurred in the church age. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Can that be any more plain? We are the body of Christ. And as his body on this earth, we have a work to do. What's God's primary job? What's the primary work that he wants done in this earth? He wants his gospel preached, and he wants people to hear the good news so that they can also join the body of Christ. Did you know that the body of Christ is taking members? All right? And God puts members in the body as it pleases him, okay? God brought you here because it pleased him that you're here. You thought you just happened to come across this place? No, 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 no. God put you here. God brought you here. God's calling you here, all right? And go to Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. If you notice, a lot of the revelation of what the church is found in the writings that Paul wrote, because Paul had the revelation. He was caught up to the third heaven, and he was spoken things that were unspeakable, and he was shown things, all right? Colossians 1 and verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Okay? So Jesus had to be first. Now, these are things that were not in, these were things that the prophets were able to see. Okay? The following things that we're going to list here are the things that they were able to see. They weren't part of the mystery. Okay? Number one, the death of Jesus and the crucifixion. All right? It's not included in the mystery because, first of all, it came before the day of Pentecost, and the prophets spoke about it. Psalm 33 and Isaiah 53 talked about the death of Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus. All right? There's a lot of Old Testament places where you can find the resurrection of Jesus, and it also occurred before the day of Pentecost. So anything before the day of Pentecost was not part of the mystery. Anything after the day of Pentecost was included in the mystery. Do you understand that? All right? Okay. Number four, the tribulation, because that comes after, and it was spoken of by a lot of Old Testament, like Zechariah, Joel, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. The battle of Armageddon, that was not included in the mystery because it occurs after the church is out. And the second coming of Christ, it's when Jesus comes to earth to establish his kingdom on the earth, okay? And then the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where he reigns for 1,000 years, and then after that, Satan is let out for a little bit, but then he gets put away at the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Amen? Awesome. All right? So, Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to help you understand the difference between the rapture and the second coming. Okay? Actually, Jesus is going to appear twice. Number one, he's going to appear in the air, and that's where we're going to be caught away with him. But secondly, he's going to come down to the earth and set up his kingdom. So here is some 15 differences between the rapture and the second coming. Number one, in the rapture, Christ comes in the air for his own, but in the second coming, Christ comes with his own to the earth. You see the difference? So one, he's coming in the air. Secondly, he's coming to the earth. Okay? At the rapture, all Christians are caught up or raptured, but in the second coming, no one is raptured or caught up. Okay? It's a difference. Number three, in the rapture, Christians are taken to the Father's house, and in the second coming, the resurrected saints don't see his house yet. Number four, during the rapture, there's no judgment on the earth, but during the second coming, Christ judges the inhabitants of the earth. Okay? So first time he's going to come, he's not going to judge, but second time he's going to judge. Okay? Number five, in the rapture, Christ is taken to heaven, but in the second coming, Christ sets up his kingdom on the earth. Okay? Number six, for the rapture, it's imminent. It could happen any moment. But the second coming cannot happen until the last 7 years of the tribulation. Okay, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Second coming can't happen until after that. All right? Is this helping you? Our goal is to understand the end times. Number seven, the rapture has no signs. But the second coming has many signs that he's coming. All right? And we're going to see in just a moment some things about the rapture. Number eight, the rapture is for believers only. But the second coming, it affects all humanity. The rapture is a time of joy, where the second coming is a time of mourning, sorrow, and despair. There's going to be a lot of things happening during that time. I mean, can you imagine this world with a bunch of believers taken out? Think about it. All right? The rapture comes before the tribulation. The second coming comes after the tribulation, or the 7 years. The rapture has no mention of Satan. But the second coming talks about how Satan is bound for 1,000 years in the abyss. At the rapture, we're going to be taken and we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, which is actually the reward seat. That word judgment is the word bema, which is really where they got their rewards. And we're going to be rewarded for what we did or what we didn't do. Now, of course, we're not rewarded for what we didn't do, right? We're only rewarded for the good things that we've done concerning God's will. All right? At the second coming, there's no time or place for the judgment seat. During the rapture, we're going to have the marriage of the Lamb. During the second coming, the bride is going to come back with him. Okay? And at the rapture, only his own see him. But at the second coming, everyone will see him. And then finally, after the rapture, the tribulation begins. And the second coming, the millennium kingdom of Christ begins. Okay, you're in 1 Corinthians 15, right? And let's go to verse 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, how fast is a moment? In the twinkling of an eye, how fast can you twinkle your eyes? At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the rapture is going to occur so quickly and so rapidly that we can't even imagine. It's going to just going to be like that. Whew. And we're going to be with the Lord. Okay? Now, a few years ago, Prince William got married, didn't he? And when any kind of dignitary or any kind of king is going to be at a place, what happens to the people? What do the people do? Right? They gather to where the king is going to be, don't they? See, and they want to see the king, they want to watch it, and that's what's going to happen at the rapture. When the rapture occurs, we're going to be gathered with the king. We're going to see his appearance. We're going to get to celebrate with him. We're going to get to welcome him. We're going to get to be with him. Because he's going to make his appearance to us. And what a day that's going to be. And from that point on, we're going to be with him. Wherever he is, we're going to be with him. Hallelujah. Okay? But it's going to happen so quickly. All right? Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I got a lot of scriptures for you today. Because I don't want my opinion coming through, okay? I want the Word of God to come through. I want to highlight the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Notice it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him, where? In glory. All right? So when he appears, he's going to appear at the rapture, and we're going to appear with him in glory. All right? We're going to be like he is. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he could show up, couldn't he? Even when the door was closed. He could eat food, couldn't he? He could be touched, couldn't he? But he was flesh and bone. He didn't have any blood in him. Because why? His blood was shed for us. But in his resurrected body, imagine you won't have to get on a plane to fly. Imagine how quickly travel will be. There won't be any traffic jams. You could be here and there in just a matter of milliseconds. It's going to be awesome. And it's like, you know, when you put the money, when you go and make to the bank and you go to the drive-up window and you put your deposit into that cylinder and that cylinder goes, right? That's exactly what's going to happen to us. When the Lord comes, we're going to go, we're just going to be caught up with him. And it's going to be an awesome day. All right? Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is a good verse to say that we're not going to go through the tribulation. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath, when? To come. Did you know that you're going to be delivered from the wrath to come? There's going to come a wrath, but we're going to be delivered from it as believers in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, this is why we've got to eradicate any message of fear about the end. It's not fearful for the believer. It's like a runner crossing the finish line. You know, I ran one race in my life, and it was 4 miles. And I was so glad when that race was done. I was so glad when I crossed the finish line. I forgot about the pain and all the stuff that I had to endure to that point. Thank God it was done. That's how you got to approach the rapture. It means that our job is done. But it means if you're not being busy for the Lord, you better get busy now. Amen. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, you better start doing it now. What's keeping you? You better be about the Father's business. We only have one life. And how you live this life will affect your eternity. What you do in this life, you will either be rewarded for or it'll be taken from you. It'll be burned up. So let's do all that we can for the Lord Jesus. All right? Let's serve him, let's support him, and let's come together whenever we can come together. Did you know that the Bible gives believers permission to provoke? You can provoke people, right? What do you provoke them? You provoke them to come together. Because God wants us to come together, all right? It's important. Okay, go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is the little John. And let's go to verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that awesome? How God, now he's speaking of daughters too. God calls us his children. God calls us his sons and his daughters. All right? Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Behold, now we are the sons of God. When are we? We are the sons of God now. All right? The minute you put faith in Jesus Christ, the minute you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a son or a daughter of God. All right? You are brought into his family just as quickly as the rapture is going to take place. The minute you confess Jesus as Lord, right there, you become his child. Okay? Beloved, we are now the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So it's going to take place so quickly. When Jesus appears, it's going to be like this. We're going to be changed. You're going to get an upgrade. You're going from something that is corrupted to something that is incorruptible. You're going from something that is natural to something that is supernatural. You're going from something that is this to something that is glorious. And it's going to take place so fast when it occurs. And then, so we're going to be caught up in the clouds, as our text we read earlier, 1 Thessalonians 4. Our bodies are going to be changed. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'll tell you what, you know, God knows how to finish things, doesn't he? He finishes things wonderfully. Our God is good. I mean, it's just like God to finish something. There's going to be an awesome quickening taking place. Philippians 3 and verse 21 is talking about who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I'm ready for an upgrade, right? You ready to change from vile to glorious? That sounds like a good trade to me. All right? According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we're going to be changed. All right, go to John chapter 14. John 14, verses 1 through 3. And hopefully this series will talk about what it means to be a glorious church. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Make that your confession. Every time you get into a conversation about the end, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't talk about the end as if it's troubling you. Let not your, whose decision is it to let your heart not be troubled? If I don't want my heart to be troubled, I've got to decide that my heart's not going to be troubled. Because after all, it's not the heart that rules me, it's the spirit. It's the real me. Okay, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, you got to keep your faith till the end. You got to be faithful till the end. All right? Your participation in God's plan should not diminish towards the end, it should increase. All right? How many know that in the last few minutes of a game, those are sometimes the most important times of the game, aren't they? Victories can change hands in just a few minutes. I'll never forget, I'm a Bears fan, and when Jim McMahon was the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, they were playing the Minnesota Vikings, and they were down by 3 touchdowns. And in the last 2 minutes, Jim McMahon threw for over 3 touchdowns to come back and to win the game in the last few minutes. So what you do in the last few minutes of the end of the age, that's really going to make the difference. All right? If you haven't been doing what you need to be doing now, let's forget about the past. Let's ask God for forgiveness. Let's start today. Let's make today a fresh day where you renew your commitment to God, you renew your fervor, and you become vigilant and diligent. All right? You become watchful and prayerful. You become word conscious. Not flesh conscious. Say, Pastor, you're hitting us hard. I know, but it's designed to help you. All right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, the translator was awesome who used this word mansions. Our God thinks big. Right? When you think of a mansion, I mean, it's awesome. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So right now, God, we are sending building material to the Lord Jesus to build you a mansion. Now, we determine whether or not we end up with a shack or a mansion, depending on how much building material we send him. Just a side thought. All right, I'm just making, okay? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's an awesome promise from God. We have his own words. Jesus is talking here. I will come again and receive you to myself. So when the rapture occurs, that's when we're going to be received to him. Okay? And we're going to be with him. I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If he's in the air, we're going to be in the air. Amen? Amen. That you may be where I am, that you may be also. That's so awesome. All right? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. All these have to do with the rapture. I never thought I'd get so excited about the rapture. But I'm excited about it. Romans 8, let's go down to verse 18. For I reckon, Paul must have been from the south, because he says, I speak in tongues more than y'all, and then he says, I reckon. Nothing against the south. I lived in Tennessee for 6 years. And after living in Tennessee for 6 years, I got myself a southern accent for a while. How y'all doing? You know, it gets on you. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Let me tell you something. The glory of God, you can't even compare it to the sufferings. So let's not make the topic of our conversations the sufferings. Let's talk about the glory of God. Let's talk about the goodness of God. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about victory. Let's talk about what God is doing. Forget what the devil is doing. I don't care what the devil is doing. I care what God is doing. I want to know what God is doing, where God is doing, and I want to be there. And if God's not doing something, it only takes a spark to start a fire. Let's start a holy fire where you are. Maybe they need some light. Maybe they need some fire. Why do you think you've been baptized with fire? To keep it to yourself? No, you've been baptized with fire to share it with others. To lay your hands on the sick and watch them recover. Some of you need to, that's why Paul told to Timothy, he said, stir yourself up. Some of you just allow yourselves to be still. And you need to stir yourselves up a little bit in God. Because listen, there are times when no one else is going to stir you up. So you better know how to stir yourself up. Meanwhile, back at our message. Where we are? Okay, Romans 8, 18. Okay, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature, that word creature is all should be creation. Okay? Creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope, because creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption. Right now, this earth is under a curse, isn't it? And part of what Jesus comes to do in the end is he makes a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to wash this one up, and he's going to make something brand new. And the new Jerusalem is going to descend out of the sky, and it's going to hover over the new earth. So, Pastor, do you believe in global warming? No, I believe in a global meltdown. I believe that God is going to cleanse this world with fire. It has nothing to do with global warming. I don't even want to get into it. Because it just doesn't matter. Okay? So the creature of the creation shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. Did you know that your liberty is glorious as a child of God? We have glorious liberty that we need to protect. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. This is really awesome. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is just the down payment of what we're going to get. Now, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is good, and it is, imagine what we're going to get when we get the whole thing. Okay? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body is when we get a glorious body. Oh, that's going to be awesome. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man sees, why does he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. How many are hoping for Jesus to return? Okay? Until he does, we can't see it, but we're waiting with patience. Everybody say, I'm waiting with patience. Did you realize with patience you can't do anything else? But wait. With patience, did you know? Why hasn't the Lord come yet? Because he has great patience for the precious fruit of the earth. There are still people that need to be born again. There are still people that need to come to the Lord. There are still people that need to confess Jesus as Lord. So he's waiting. He is patiently waiting. And that's what we're doing until he comes. So we're waiting for him with patience. Oh, but when he comes, it's going to be a glorious, wonderful, awesome, incredible day for us. We're going to have a party with the Lamb. Hallelujah. And there's no party. You've never been to a party that, you know, when the Lamb puts a party out, he parties. He invented party. Our God knows how to party. Anybody that plans this far in advance a party, you know that they love to party. Our God is the true party person. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. My goodness. Lord, can we stop that clock for a minute? Like Joshua. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at verse 14. Well, we better back up to verse 13 where he says, hold fast the form of sound words. How long should we hold fast until we're taken out? Okay? What kind of words? Sound words. What kind of words do you speak over yourself? Are they sound words or are they feeling words? How many know we tend to speak a lot what we feel? Can you do this? I don't feel like it. I didn't ask how you felt. I just asked, can you do this? Are the words that we speaking sound words over our lives? Are we speaking sound words over our children? Are we speaking sound words over our finances? Uh-oh. Why'd you have to go there, Pastor? Because the Holy Spirit wanted me to go there. Are you saying it's empty or full? Why is it so quiet in here? Let's move on. Hold fast the form or the pattern of sound words, which you have heard of me in faith and love, which as in Christ Jesus. Well, no wonder. I'm reading 2 Timothy. Sorry for that. Please forgive me. I mean, it was good anyway. I didn't intend to go there, but God wanted someone to hear some things about that. All right. Okay, I'm in 1 Timothy 6:14. That you keep this commandment. What commandment? You better back up to verse 11. We're supposed to keep this commandment. But you, man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So that's a command. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. This is the command that we're supposed to hold fast to. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Okay? Keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So until he comes, how are we supposed to live? We're supposed to live blameless. We're supposed to walk uprightly. We're supposed to keep his word. We're supposed to do what he wants us to do. We're supposed to do his will. We're supposed to keep the commandment until he comes. How many are committed to the end? How many, you got to endure to the end. Some things we got to endure, right? But we can endure things because we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, we have His strength and His power. Okay? Okay? Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, which in His times He shall show. Who is the blessed and only Pontinent, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Oh, there's coming a time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a time when Jesus is going to appear. And when he appears, we're going to be with him. We're going to be taken up from wherever you are at that moment. You're going to be gone from this earth. And you're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And then when he comes to kick Satan's butt, we're coming back with him. And we're going to get to fight the battle of Armageddon with glorified bodies. But we don't have to do anything because he's going to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. But we're going to be with him. We're going to be with him when he goes to battle. We're going to be with him when he goes to the throne. We're going to be with him when he goes to heaven. We're going to be with him. And there's two examples of the rapture in the Old Testament, although no prophet of the Old Testament spoke about the rapture. First one is Enoch in Genesis. He walked with God 365 years. We have 365 days in a year. That means we should walk with God every day. And after Enoch walked with God, what happened to him? God took him. Where did he take him from? He took him from the earth. Did he die? No, he did not die. He was taken up. What was his testimony? He pleased God. What can be your testimony? I please God. Your testimony can be one of pleasing God until you're taken up. Let's be God pleasers until we leave this place. Let's be God servers until we leave this. Let's be radical believers until we leave this place. Let's go cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely we have received, freely give. Let's kick the devil out of our families. Let's get addicts delivered from bondage. Let's help the abused get restored, healed, and mended. And then the second example was Elijah. Elijah had a servant by the name of Elisha. And Elisha served Elijah faithfully. When Elijah came, I'm going to use you, Elliot, all right? Elisha was just plowing, and Elijah just came and threw his mantle, which represented the anointing of God. Now, Elisha was called by God. He had to make a choice. Should I continue farming, or should I go with Elijah? Every time God calls you, you're going to have to make a choice as to which direction you go. Are you going to do this for God, or are you going to do this for yourself? Well, Elisha said, you know what Elisha did? He took his 12 yoke of oxen. He burned the yokes. And he slaughtered the ox. You ain't gonna farm anymore when you kill the ox and you burn the yokes. From that point on, he followed Elijah wherever he went. He served him, held his briefcase, carried his books, set up his book table, did whatever Elijah needed. And now it was coming for his reward. And Elijah told Elijah, he said, what do you want for me to give you? He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. Okay, but you got to see me when I go. So they were together. They went from the last places of their ministry. They went to four places. I won't get into that right now. But there's a message called On the Road to the Double Portion. And it was and you know what? Elijah kept giving Elisha opportunities to leave. He said, well, why don't you stay here? I'm going to go on ahead. Elisha said, uh-uh. Where you go, I'm going. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to carry out my assignment to the end. And finally, they got to the place. And out from the heavens came chariots of fire. They came down. Elijah got in that chariot. He went to heaven. He didn't die. He went from earth to heaven. And just like you and I, when this church age ends, when this era that we're in ends, when this dispensation of grace ends, Jesus is going to appear in the air. The world is not going to know what's happening. And we're going to get the call. We're going to hear the voice of God. We're going to hear the shout. We're going to hear the trump of God. And we're going to go. And just as you see these people in this room, we're going to be gone just like that from this earth. And hopefully the people who remain on this earth, they get a clue. And they realize what happened. And they turn their hearts to God. It's going to be, you know, the best of times and the worst of times. It's going to be the worst of times during those 7 years. But I want you to be ready. We start getting ready right now by putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. You can't put your faith in good works. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't get into heaven on someone else's shirt tails. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And once you do, you've got to commit your life to Him. See, it's great that the thief on the cross next to Jesus was able to confess Jesus and he was able to go to heaven. But you know what? He's not going to have any rewards. We get rewarded for the things that we do for God. So I just want to encourage you to invest your life into God's plan. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Be where He tells you to be. Do what He tells you to do. If He tells you to give $1,000 to this or to that, do it. Why? Because He has a blessing in mind. He just wants the obedience. You know, I've discovered that when God called me to this church, He didn't ask me. He didn't say, Doug, can you afford it? He just said, I want you to go here. I didn't know anybody here. I came just to do what God wanted me to do. I came into a place that was unknown. I had no connection in Palmyra except for the fact that I drove through here once with my parents and said, oh, this is a nice place to live. Be careful when you say it's a nice place to live. God will say, that's good. You can live there. I was spying out the land and I didn't know it. But we should not approach the end with fear or trouble. We should be rejoicing. We should be prayerful. We should be watching. Our church attendance should increase. When we see the day approaching, we don't know the day or the hour, but we can see the season. You know the season that we're in? What's happening in the world? Things are happening just like the Bible says. We didn't lie. The Bible doesn't lie. Do you realize? I find it fascinating how God told the Israelites, I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came back and they said, it was just like you said. Hello? I mean, if you've got to go in the land and investigate to find out that what God said is really true, that's fine. But guess what? God's word was true from the very beginning. You might as well just make up your mind to believe God's word now. Right? Why do you have to investigate it? Why do you have to reason out? Just believe God. Let's stand to our feet. If you can stand, stand. If you can't, then you don't have to stand. Let's just stand to our feet. We're looking for some radical believers who are sold out, who are committed to God's call and God's plan. And I just want, if you're not a committed person, I'm not going to pray for you. I just want you to make a commitment in your heart to God today. I want you just to praise God and to worship Him. And in your praise and in your worship, if there's been any area of your life that you've been double-minded, you've been holding to two opinions, a double-minded man will not receive anything from God. You can't be sick and healed. Pick one. I would pick healing. It's a whole lot better. But you don't know what I feel. You don't know what I've been through. No, but I know what Jesus has been through. And if he can sweat blood and still go to the cross, then we can do things through his strength. I'm not asking you to do anything on your own strength. It's supernatural strength. So I just want you to make a fresh commitment to God. Be a committed giver. Be a committed liver, living for God. Lord, we just come to you today. We come before your altar. And Lord, we make a fresh commitment in our hearts to serve you, to follow you, to do your will, to do what you've told us to do, and to be ready for when you return. So Lord, when you return, you're going to make us into a glorious church. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your Holy Spirit who brings us into all truth. And today, on this Sunday, we make a fresh commitment to you. Everybody say this. Say, I commit my life entirely to you, Lord. Have your way. No more excuses will I give when you tell me to do something. I will do it. I will go where you want me to go. I will be what you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And just give God some praise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your holy name. Oh, and if there's anybody here, if you haven't accepted Jesus, do it today. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, get filled today. God's got a vat overflowing with new wine. If you want to know Jesus,